Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come here and worship you. We're thankful that later we can fellowship together at the church picnic. And we just pray, Lord, that everything that's said and done today, here and there, are glorifying to you. We're so thankful, Lord, to have this church family to worship with, to learn with, and to serve with, and to fellowship with. So we're thankful again for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're continuing our summer series. There's a psalm for that. And in that series, in this series, we're dealing with our emotions. Today, we are going to study Psalm 4, and we're going to deal with the emotion of peace. Now, this psalm focuses in on having peace from God, even when people or situations that we might be in are not particularly peaceful. It's written by David, and it's on the heels of Psalm chapter 3, which deals with the rebellion that rose up against David from his son Absalom. The setting's pretty simple. David wants to go to sleep and get a good night's rest, but he's struggling with peace. He's upset. His mind is racing, and the things in his life are not going well. Has that ever happened to you? Things are not going well, you're upset, your mind's racing, and you try to go to sleep. Maybe you receive bad news about your health or someone you love's health. Maybe you're having financial issues. Maybe you're having relational issues. Maybe you just feel an uneasiness, and when you lay your head down on that pillow at night, and all the different things hit you and you can't seem to find any peace. Well, Psalm 4 is a psalm for you. And it starts out like this, praying for peace. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. So David knew if he was going to have any sort of peace in his life, it was going to have to come from God. So he started to pray, God, answer me. Answer me, O God. That was his prayer. Answer me. Listen to me. I know you have in the past. We have to realize prayer is the starting point, not the last resort, okay? Prayer is the starting point, not the last resort. Oftentimes, we try everything the unbelieving world suggests, and we ignore the fact that the God of all creation is willing to listen to us. Imagine that. We try everything the world offers, and we ignore the fact that the God of all creation is willing to lend a listening ear to us. Now notice how David addresses God. He says, God of my righteousness. Now we know now through the gospel, we are made righteous. We are all sinners in need of a savior. Jesus is that savior. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. The scriptures teach us this, all who believe will have eternal life. We know that Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God, and the scriptures teach us all who believe will not only have eternal life, will actually be forgiven of our sins. And this is the important thing. We're made righteous. So when you pass from this earth and stand before the Lord, he sees you as righteous. Then he remembers in the past what God gave him relief from in his distress. Or in other words, God gave him peace. So as he's going through this prayer, he's saying, you know, God, you are the one that can make me righteous. You are the one that in the past has given me relief in my time of distress. So now he's asking again, be gracious to me. Hear my prayer like you have in the past. Give me that same peace. I think all of you here can remember a time that God has answered one of your prayers in the positive, the way that you wanted, and given you peace in that situation. So now in the situation you're in, it's kind of like tapping into that, remembering, okay, God, you were faithful here. You were faithful here. Well, I think you could be faithful here as well. See, when we're lacking peace, we need to do what David did. We need to start off with prayer. You know, something that you might want to do to remind yourself to commit to prayer, because a lot of times we do forget. When trouble time comes, when things, you know, are not going well, and, you know, our mind is racing, maybe you are trying to go to sleep, or maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and all these things, you have to remember to go to prayer. Now, Philippians 4 was our scripture reading, and 6 through 7 says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests, make your requests made known to God. And guess what? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if you forget to pray, you got to remember that verse. You got to commit that verse to memory to know the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. And I love that. And I say this all the time when I teach on this verse. It transcends all understanding because we don't understand how we could possibly ever have peace in the situation that we're in. But guess what? God is there and he's willing to give you that peace. Don't try to understand it. Just receive it. Okay? Don't try to understand it. Just receive it. When we pray, we see God work, and it may even be in situations that we can't fully comprehend or understand, but he gives us peace. So committing to prayer is the first way that we can have peace. But then what happens is David goes on and tells us what is causing him not to have peace. So the next point is this. Deception challenges peace. It says, oh men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? So now what David is doing is he's talking to or about the people that are coming against him. So we're not really sure if this is part of the prayer or just something that he's just teaching us or letting us know. But he's basically saying, how long will you be deceptive about me or to me? Why do you continue to seek after lies? He's talking to basically his enemies. Why are you trying to ruin my reputation? Now, this is leaving David with a very uneasy feeling, and he's not at peace with the situation. Now, this can happen to us when there are people that maybe misrepresent us, cause us problems, do things to intentionally ruin our reputation, or just seem to want to give us trouble. And maybe you've crossed paths with people like that in your life. They just seem to give you a hard time. You know, it's sad to say in our culture, people do want to believe the negative things about people. Have you noticed that? People want to believe the negative things about people, even when there are so many positive things. So when someone seeks to say negative things about us, more times than not, guess what? The people around, they want to believe that. You could live a life of integrity and do all amazing things and bless so many people and then fall into a sin, and guess what? People gravitate towards that. This is why our news cycle is the way that it is. We have deception, half-truths, fake news, because what does it do? It gets the people's views. People see these things come up in their feed and they're like, oh, there's something negative, let me click on that. And then there's something positive, oh, that was just a Boy Scout troop that like planted some flowers. I don't need to know about that, okay? We want the negative. Unfortunately, that's our sin nature grasping after things that we want to hear. People are looking for negativity and there's no peace in that. Now, David realizes, guess what? I can't control what other people say about me or try to do. Now, that's an important lesson, isn't it? I can't control what people say about me or what they try to do. So what he does next really helps him. He remembers this. Confidence in God brings peace. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Now, the question is this. Who are the godly? Who are the godly? You know what? The godly of every age before and after Jesus are people that trust in the one true God. That's who the godly are. When we trust in Jesus, we are seen as godly because we're in God's family now. He has made us righteous. He has washed our sin away. So when David says, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, David has confidence and he's telling others, he's reminding himself that the Lord sets apart the people that trust him, meaning he watches over us. He has a plan for us. You know, there's so many things in life that can cause us trouble, or people in life that can cause us trouble and maybe make us feel purposeless and there's no plan for us. But David's saying, no, that's not true. God sets apart the godly for himself. He has a plan for each one of us. Not only does David have confidence that the Lord does this, he is also confident that the Lord hears when he prays. So he goes back to his prayer, right? The opposite of confidence, we know, is doubt. And when we have doubt, we do not experience peace. Now, listen to what James says about doubting, especially when it comes to our prayers. James says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He is a double-minded person, unstable in their ways. Now, the movement of this passage, I love the movement of the passage because it's basically saying you lack wisdom, or in other words, you don't know what to do. So he says, pray. You don't know what to do? Pray. When you pray, don't doubt. Have faith and be confident in God. If you don't pray like that, you will not experience peace because you are tossed around by everything that comes your way. Apparently, they use waves again here in the scripture, which, remember, I think waves are positive. So, but in the scriptures, they're negative, and they're tossed around by everything. You will not receive the peace and direction you're looking for because you do not believe it's possible. Now think about this. That's the movement of this passage. James is saying, when you pray, don't pray with empty words, thinking that God is not there or don't be confident in him. No, pray like you believe it. Pray with faith. Don't doubt. The reason is if you doubt, you become double-minded. And that means you have split loyalties. And the way that looks for us is sometimes you hold on to your Christian faith, but other times you put more importance on the wisdom of the world. You know, this is one of the sad things about being an American Christian, okay? We're American Christians. We love the Lord and we love our culture. And we start to look at our culture and we let our culture speak so much into us that we start to forget about the scriptures, so we become double-minded. Well, all the people at work, all the people in my family, all the people in my neighborhood, all my friends, all my friends at school, they're saying this, 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 and this, but there's this small voice in God's word that's saying this. Why won't I listen to that? Well, that's smaller than everything else. So we become double-minded. This makes us unstable. We don't know what to do. We're confused. And this is why it's so important, and I know I say this all the time, and sometimes I feel like a broken record, but hey, what are you going to do? The thing is, you need to have a steady diet of God's word. You need to be in the word. Don't take it from me. Take it from God, okay? Don't say, what does Pastor Mike have to say to me today? No, what does God have to say to me every day? Every day. Remember, the Bible is every person's book. You can read it daily and get into it. What we need to do is be confident that following God and going to God with everything will eventually give us peace. Following God and going to him, being confident, you know, he wants the best for me. He loves me. Why would I ever doubt him? And if I ever doubt him, I just look at that cross and just am reminded what he's done for me. So how does that look? Well, this brings us to the next point. And that is this: meditation brings peace. It says, be angry and do not sin, ponder in your own hearts and on your beds, and be silent. So now here we dealt with anger. You remember this in Psalm 37. And we brought up this point. It's not a sin to be angry with things that we're supposed to be angry about, right? When people twist the truth of the gospel, when people act unjustly, and when people or us willfully are disobedient. It's right to be angry with those things. But in your anger, do not act in sinful ways. But we should not act in sinful ways as a response to those things. But this verse, which is also repeated in Ephesians 4:29 by the Apostle Paul, is letting us know that if you stay angry and don't process it and come up with some solutions, you will not have peace. That's how it fits in here. So how do we process? Well, what David's saying is you meditate, okay? And meditation, I mean, you know, I know New Age movements and stuff use this concept of meditation, but meditation is simply this: thinking deeply or focusing one's mind for a period of time in silence, pondering in your heart. Remember, David's trying to go to sleep, okay? And what a great time to actually ponder things when you're laying in your bed and everything is quiet. See, many times we meditate on things we are angry about or things that are bothering us or people that are bothering us. And guess what that does? You know what that does, right? It just makes you more mad, right? You start, I can't believe it. And you start to really work yourself up, right? That's kind of how, is it just me? No, I think it's everybody, right? Okay. We start to have a hard time having peace because we meditate on the wrong thing. We meditate on what's going on rather than meditating on the things of the Lord. So what we need to do is meditate on the word of the Lord, what it has to say. What do the scriptures say about what I'm dealing with? What is challenging my peace? This is where you got to dig in again. Find out. You're not going to get every answer from me on a Sunday, this is where you have to dig in. I'm dealing through this situation. I'm going through this. I got to dig in, find out what the scriptures say, find out what they say, probably commit those things to memory. And then when you're laying in your bed and you're bothered and you can't sleep and those thoughts come up, then you say, oh yeah, that's right. The Lord says this. Oh yeah, that's right. I can tell you from my own personal experience, many times in my life when I've been bothered and I've practiced these things, especially when I'm having a hard time sleeping, I wind up praying and meditating myself right to sleep. What an amazing thing to know that, hey, you know what? The last one that I was talking to is the Lord, and the last thing I was meditating on was his things. Because guess what? It's no guarantees I'm even waking up the next morning. But to know that the last things that were on my mind were the things of the Lord. His word, he reveals to us the things that we need to know. Which brings us to our next point, and that is this. Obedience brings peace. It says, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. So God reveals to us in his word what we should be doing, and guess what? We have to respond. We need to obey. Now, the obedience here is twofold, and the first is right sacrifices, okay? What are these right sacrifices? Well, Alan Ross in his commentary suggests these sacrifices are based on true worship. So let's go back. Under the old covenant, which David was under, when they were instructed to bring sacrifices for their sin, those sacrifices were only acceptable to God if the one offering the sacrifice was truly sorry or repentant for their sins. Otherwise, it was just a religious duty. It was just a religious duty. You know what? Some of you might have grown up in an environment like that. Going to church was a religious duty. I got it done, okay? It's over with. God's happy with me. Now I can live my life the way I want all week long and go back for 45 minutes to an hour and get it done. Religious duty, okay? That should never be how you look at your faith. For us today, right sacrifices are a bit different because Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins. So we're already made righteous, so we don't need those types of sacrifices. So Romans 12, 1 through 2 actually teaches us that our obedience to the Lord is actually sacrificing what we think will bring us peace to what will really bring us peace, and that is doing things God's way. You get that? Sacrificing what we think or the world teaches us might bring us peace and actually looking at things God's way. So listen to what Paul says. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. But do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. See, the world will tell you so many other ways to find peace, and I don't even want to spend time going through all the way the world is going to lie to you and tell you what's going to bring you peace, because here's the truth. It won't work. How do I know? God told me through his word. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So you can be like, well, I'm going to try. It's not going to work. I'll save you a lot of time and energy because the Lord told us. What will really bring peace is submitting our will to the will of God. And in that, we make a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is really a form of worship. So that's the first way we obey, right sacrifices. Sacrificing what we think and feel or what the world is teaching us and going God's way. The second way we obey is trust. We need to trust. He says, put your trust in the Lord. Do you know that we're actually commanded to trust? Some of you might have actually committed this passage just to memory, because it's a very popular memory verse, and that is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Some of you know this, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trusting him is essentially saying, you do not rely on your own understanding. This is a challenge for many people. I talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people have a lot of opinions and a lot of thoughts and ideas about the way the world should be, how everything should look, how people should act. But guess what? That's their own understanding. And I tell them straight out, like I'm telling you, I don't trust my own understanding. I trust what God has to say. So I base now my understanding on him. So in life, and we've all been there, we read a passage, we see something, and we're like, oh, that's tough. I don't know if I agree with that. Well, just smack yourself in the face, okay? Here's the thing, because the Lord's saying, you don't have to agree, this is true, okay? Your understanding is messed up by sin, okay? Your sin nature. So you have to say, okay, this is what the world's saying, this is what my own understanding is, but God says something very different. And you'll find as you mature in your faith, and as many of you had, the more you understand the things of God, the more the things of God actually make sense. He has the wisdom we need, and that is what we need to lean on. Okay. So when things and troubles come our way to steal our peace, we lean on him. We don't lean on our own understanding. We don't run around. We don't Google. We don't find out from other people. We go to the Lord. The world will have their opinion. When you tell them you trust God, which brings us to the next point, and that is this. Troubles challenge peace. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. So during troubled times, people will question God, right? Especially unbelievers. And in this verse, they are questioning, who will show us good? Who will show us good? Or the light is left. It's so dark. There's no peace here. You know what? This is an amazing time for you and I as believers to show them who will show them good. The light hasn't left. Jesus is the light. We can all agree troubling times challenge our peace, but in those times when we go to God, his peace is available. When we experience that peace, here's what happens. Here's what happens. David says the next thing. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. You know, normally people think, since troubles or bad times challenge our peace, the healing factor must be good times, right? Okay, things are bad now, but they'll get better. And when they do, you'll have peace. But the truth is, true peace can only come from an inner joy that God brings. Do you see how this is going? That means that I can experience peace even when the world around me is falling apart. Does that sound good to you? It sounds good to me, because guess what? The last time I turned on the news, the last time I checked, things are not really right. And I don't foresee in the near future, unless Jesus decides to take us home, things going much more right. So this verse compares the joy with a great crop of grain or good wine. These things symbolize blessing, and they are things that the world at times see. When you have them, you have peace because you have abundance. But here's what happens. When someone doesn't know the Lord and they have the world's possessions, they don't know the Lord, they have the world's possessions, but they still feel an uneasiness. Maybe that's how some of you came to the Lord. You're like, nothing's really going wrong. In fact, a lot of things are going right, but I just don't feel a peace. I don't feel joy. And you don't know why. The reason is they do not have joy and peace that only comes from the Holy Spirit because they have not trusted in Jesus. They still have that uneasiness. And we know many people as Americans, right? That things are going well. That things, they're blessed. They have money in the bank account. Things are going well. Job's going well. Kids are doing fine. Everything's good. But they still have this deep feeling of hollowness because they don't have the Lord. So for us as believers, we need to focus on the joy that we can only have and experience through Him. Focus on the peace that we can only have in Him. Now, this brings us to our final point. And our final point is this: confidence in God brings peace. So it's going back to this idea of confidence. In peace, I both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. No matter what's happening in our lives, good times, bad times, neutral times, if someone's against us, if things are going very wrong, if things are going very right, this feels good, right? To get a good night's sleep, to rest easy. We experience peace because we know that we're safe with Him. We experience peace because we know that no matter what's going on around me, I have the Lord on my side. I'm safe and sound. We tap into that peace when we pray, when we meditate, when we obey, and we have confidence in God. This morning, as we observe communion, we remember why this is all possible, because of what Christ has done for us. The fact that He gave His life on the cross for us. So Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember that I gave up my life. I was that ultimate sacrifice that you needed. There's no more need for sacrifices any longer. I was that ultimate sacrifice. So we come here and we remember that. His body was given up, His blood was shed. But we also evaluate our own life. And maybe you are struggling with peace. Maybe you're a believer, but you're struggling with peace. And part of the reason why is maybe you're being a little double-minded. Maybe your loyalties are split. You're thinking all these other things. If this only happens, then I'll feel better. If I get myself in shape, I'll feel better. If I'm financially secure, I'll feel better. If my job was better, if my boss was better, if my kids were better, if my spouse was better, then I'll feel better. Well, guess what? Okay? You can still have peace. Even if all those things are going crazy like a circus, you could still have peace when you look to Him. So maybe for you, the challenge is maybe you're not praying. Maybe you're not meditating. Maybe you're not obeying. Maybe you're not having confidence. Whatever that challenge is for you, you need to put that into practice in your life. Ask God to help because you can't do it on your own. But maybe you're struggling with something else, and communion is a time for you to actually have a quiet time in a loud world where you can actually just spend some time talking to the Lord. So I'm going to give you a few moments, and then we'll partake together. On the night Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and broke it. So this is my body given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, Jesus took the cup, said, "This is the cup of my blood, cup of the new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Please bow with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the peace that transcends all understanding that only you can give us. I pray for each one of us today. I pray if there's anyone struggling with having that peace, they put these things that David put into practice in his own life to express his confidence in you, because he knew that peace only came from you. So I pray that we would practice these things: prayer, meditation, obedience, and having confidence. I'm thankful for the guidance your scripture gives us in these areas. I pray today, Lord, as we fellowship at the church picnic, I'm just so thankful for all the faithful volunteers that you bless us with to pull off an event like this. I pray, Lord, that the fellowship is sweet, the baptisms are an encouragement to each one of us, of people that decided to follow after you. We know, Lord, that that day we decided to follow after you was such a joyful day in our hearts, and it gave us the peace that we needed. We pray, Lord, that we never forget those days in our lives. So I'm thankful again for each person that's here. I pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
My soul, he's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing.